Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. What a weekend here in the city of Houston. It just doesn't get any better sports-wise for us. And we got a comparison with Atlanta. With what Atlanta has been going through versus Houston, they're our biznots right now. Everybody's our biznots right now. Is there a bigger, and let's start with the biggest, because it's questionable now, but the biggest story this weekend, big ups to Lanto Griffin for holding off the field and winning the Houston Open.
That's not the big story, John. That's not the big story.
Tens and tens of people were there to witness one of the big wins in golf history.
Yeah.
All right? Lanto Griffin. Hey, listen, I never heard of this dude. I don't know who he is. Yeah. Half the field was...
I'm not even going to talk about this.
What are you talking about? Lanto Griffin, everybody. This was huge. Like a major golf, well, not a major, but a golf tournament in the city of Houston's not important to you?
Are you
going to
talk about the ALCS game 5?
I
want to
tell you
two. This.
If they had lost that game, this would have been a Texans. It would have started with the Texans today. But winning that game, dude, Carlos Correa.
Well, hold on a second. There may be somebody who's just getting in their car who went to bed and doesn't know.
I don't give a rat's ass.
The Houston Astros
won. You know what? You're not a fan.
In the 11th, after not getting a hit for over 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, there was 2 hours that went by without any hits from either team.
What inning was it that the Astros had their last hit? Was it the 5th or 6th?
And then they until the 11th?
Until the 11th, where Carlos went opposite field home run.
Yeah, I forget their last hit before that, but because there were the offense is really
really right now a struggle. I mean, the last five games, the only time they look good is when somebody was tipping their pitches for the first like 10 pitches.
After game one, obviously there's overreaction. There's overreaction for every game. Greinke didn't pitch poorly. You ain't gonna win.
All right.
You ain't gonna win if you have three hits and no runs.
That's good as Greinke can do against the Yankees. I don't think he can do better.
No, yeah, he can. He has pitched better against them earlier this year. He pitched twice against them, and he pitched better both times.
Astros?
This is the Astros. I mean, this is their best lineup, though. I mean, everybody back except if you're a Yankee fan. Are you not looking at Giancarlo Stanton and going, really, dude? A quad?
How does he not play as a DH?
Man,
how does he not DH?
We think Carlos has health issues. Giancarlo Stanton is tissue paper.
More right now.
That dude is the biggest, strongest piece of tissue paper I've ever seen.
Here's my thing. If Giancarlo Stanton doesn't play yesterday, I got to think that game 3's got to be in potential doubt because it's got to be a really bad injury.
Yep, a quad? No, get up there and hit, big boy.
Well, it's not even a hammy or a groin.
No, it's a quad.
Quad is usually a pain issue. Pain tolerance is what a quad usually is. So if the quad is that bad to keep him out, I would have to think that this is going to be
ALCS?
More than... I'm saying it must be so bad that game 3's got to be
out. He better be in a tourniquet.
No.
And in a hospital bed with IV, speaking of which.
I swear on Jesus right now. Everybody who's getting up to the plate at the Yankees, I'm like, what? This is a murderer. No. I knew it was, but it's different when you're facing him in the playoffs.
And Stanton wasn't even in the lineup.
And Gary, I swear, the Sanchez at-bat was the most terrifying at-bat I think I've ever had as an Astro.
Well,
and this guy is just like Smoltz is saying. I think Smoltz is so good, by the way. But just like Smoltz is saying, he goes, This guy is ripping 99-mile-an-hour fastballs foul on the left inside of the third baseline.
Yeah, right.
Like
he was turning on.
He's getting his barrel out on 99.
Yeah, right. And it was going to be like one of those most painful losses ever when he struck out, missed the ball. They called foul tip.
And all I said was, well, this is over now.
Yep.
Here comes the homer.
Yep.
That in my mind, and yours too, obviously. Yep. I didn't know you did it too.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as that missed foul, as soon as that missed curveball, beautiful, perfect pitch by Josh James. I mean,
I love the ump though. The next pitch, it was just off the plate, off the plate.
Makeup
call. Makeup call.
Yeah.
And you know why?
Because
Sanchez is arguing it. Dude, you shouldn't even have been up there. You got a call that you should have never gotten. So stop complaining. Stop complaining like a little biznutch.
Oh, did you hear Nick Turturro's? He did a video right after the game. Did you see it?
No.
Dell, can you pull that? You'll have to clean up Nick Turturro. He was a little upset with the call.
With what call?
The makeup call.
He
said it was a makeup call too.
And it was a makeup call.
He's a little upset.
And so what? You know what? He shouldn't have been at the plate. If he does anything in that situation, this game is null and void because it would be the foul tip game. That's what it would have been. Yeah. And you know, a Yankee fan, you want to win that way as opposed to having the right call made, and that's so stupid. We can look at whether or not the ball hit the yellow stripe on the top of the wall or it didn't hit the yellow, but we can't review a foul tip. It's unreviewable, really? Come on. Stop. So I mean, you had to win the Verlander game. You got to win the Cole.
You really probably need to go 4-0 on Verlander Cole.
You have to. You almost.
I mean, more.
I don't know because I'm high on Urquidy. I am.
Urquidy.
No.
In.
I am. I'm telling
in
you.
New York.
They're going to win 2 out of 3 in New York. I'm telling you right now. They're going to win. They're going to then Greinke again. Then Urquidy and then Greinke again. And I don't know about Greinke again.
So you have to win Cole. It's just non. It's a non-starter.
You're going to win Cole. You have to win Cole.
You have to win.
You have to win Cole. You can't go down 2-1 with Urquidy and Greinke next.
What did you think? You think about New York? I thought it was kind of crazy when Paxton, who is an Astros killer in his history. Yeah. So why did everyone say he was tipping pitches? On Twitter, everyone's telling me he's tipping pitches. Yeah. He had to go. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know, but they were on him, and they're not usually on him. He was 7-2 with like a 2-something ERA against the Astros over the last 3 years. I told you before the season, that dude is an Astro killer.
Is this the only way the Astros can get hits now is with tip pitches? Is this it?
I think.
Who are they hit other than tip
other
pitches?
Other than tip pitches.
Who have they hit dating back to game 3 against the Rays? They're hitting nobody other than when you tip pitches.
Oh, J. Happ? You don't think Carlos Correa hit J. Happ?
In inning 2.
Okay. In inning 11.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the second inning, he had to go back out there.
Right, right.
I mean, the Astros, here's how unlikely that was. The Astros are not hitting the ball. They don't get a hit for multiple innings. You're facing a murderer's row, and Justin Verlander's pitch count spiraled out of control late. And so he was only able to give you almost seven full innings. But your bullpen, the much maligned bullpen, I mean, Osuna not only did his job, but the unthinkable happened. He came back out for the next game and got guys out.
Wait a minute. The whole bullpen was
excellent. The bullpen was phenomenal. And Carlos Correa mentioned him in postgame about how the bullpen was great.
Yeah. But and I will tell you, and I thought Joe Buck was dead on. He goes, you know, after I thought that Aaron Boone was a little desperate last night. Pulling Paxton right away.
When he
away.
Did that on Paxton, I was like, I put on Twitter, I'm like, man. I said, you give up one run, and he's already getting a hook, and then Lance McCullers retweeted that and just said, the quick, and he just had a little Captain Hook, like a hook thing. But, I mean, they were desperate. They were desperate to win, because they understood, if we take two here.
Well, they were desperate to not give up too many runs because Verlander wasn't giving it up.
Well, they know as long as we stay close with Verlander, what their thought is, we'll beat their bullpen. So as long as we don't let this thing get out of control.
But I thought Buck was dead on. After the Yankees had gone through all of their best guys, it was like, all you know what? Levels. The Astros have a better bullpen right now.
Yeah, all the and Smoltz kept questioning it too. He said, you know, at some point you start to wonder when this is going to have a cumulative effect, because you've got Severino who has not been able to, you know, he's coming off injury. He can't go long stints. So you're going to have to go to your bullpen again on Tuesday if you're the Yankees.
His last outing was four innings.
Four and a third?
And he yeah. didn't give up any runs, and they had to pull him.
Yeah.
So, well, they got the day off. You know, they got
one day, but you did have multiple guys for them going more than an inning.
Yeah.
And you had them pitching on Saturday. You had some guys like Ottavino, who I think is very hittable. He's the one guy that feels like the Astros.
This year he wasn't before this.
No, they feel like they get some pretty good at-bats against
that
him.
That dude was the best reliever in baseball a couple years ago.
You burned up your high-leverage guys, and you were left with trying to get the Astros out with your, I mean, you know, they let CC Sabathia go. And I was thinking about this, too. So, right now, Yordan Alvarez is in a really nasty slump, and he's just not seeing the ball. Pitches he used to just pummel. People are getting away with throwing fastballs down the chute, and he's taking them. Like, he's taking great pitches, and then he's missing. He's just not on. He's not even getting good foul balls.
No.
And he's now one of his last 13 with 9 strikeouts, and he has left, I think, 11 men on base consecutively. It's a really bad run, and I was thinking, man, you got to get him out of the five hole. And the more I thought about it, because Boone is so willing to go to his bullpen, I don't think they want. I think they like Brantley left, and then Yordan at five left, just because they don't want to let anyone. They don't want to let any right-hander, you know, any right-hand reliever get a righty-righty look for too long. Until after you get past Yordan. Like, if you're at the top of the lineup and you want to start playing your little pitcher games, having them broken up by only a few at batters forces Boone to potentially have quick hooks on his bullpen.
To that, though, I thought it was better if Brantley was hitting. Brantley 3, Bregman 4, Yordan 5 would make them throw the lefty against Bregman, because you have to keep the lefty in, and Bregman would get better looks against lefties. He moved Brantley up to 2, and now he's got 2 guys in between, so you can bring a right-hander in for 2 batters and then back to a lefty for Yordan. He's got a lot of lefties in his bullpen. The Astros, 0. He's got a lot of lefties available to him, so Yordan is going to face a steady dose. Yordan has got to get some confidence back. Yordan looks really, really lost at the plate, and I don't know about you, but I still think when he comes up,
I still feel like he's going to hit a home run.
He's
going to
hit a home.
And then he has these bad at-bats, and I feel like at some point he's going to do something that makes us excited. But he's getting some really bad at-bats, and Tucker, oh, my God, he did it again. He swung at a pitch that almost went over the netting.
Stop saying it.
Almost went over the netting behind home plate.
No, that was the one that was supposed to hit the bull.
Bull Durham.
Yeah, Bull Durham, right? And he's swinging at it. Good Lord, man.
Those two guys just look like they just – and, I mean, they're young, but it just kind of speaks to – you know what somebody reminded me of? A guy named Twinning on Twitter, he goes, you know who Yordan looks like is Bellinger from 17. I'm like, oh, my God, that's true. Bellinger was an absolute killer all year. And in the Astros, it was almost like he was an automatic out when the Astros
that's
faced
true.
Him.
All right, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I've got a new sponsor that I want to talk to you about. Listen, if you're a wine drinker, this is perfect. Cameron Hughes. I told the guy, we did a conference call. He told me all about his company. What an unbelievable thing he's doing. This guy's doing that. Basically, he's buying directly from wineries and he's selling them directly from you to you on your website. He eliminates all the middlemen on this deal. Now, all you will know is it's a Pinot from Napa, or it's a Chardonnay from Oregon or Australia or New Zealand or from France or wherever it's from. And he has this wine ready for you with his label on it. The wine is excellent. My wife and we will drink a nice glass of wine. We love a Pinot from Oregon. And we got this, and she was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. It's a $100 bottle of wine for about $16. I'm not even joking. It is unbelievable what kind of deal you're going to get. You get these deals all the time. You go to chwine.com. That's chwine.com. See for yourself. I'll be talking about this. Go to chwine.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
Houston is all systems go!
We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star.
There was no O2. It was never going to be O2. We were going to win tonight, and we did a great job of coming out with a lot of confidence and played well.
That's Breggers. I call him Breggers. That's Breggers. There was never going to be an O2, so there. Carlos, what was with the ear? Hey, I can't hear you. What was that?
That was let me hear you or whatever. I don't know. You know, Astros have so many inside jokes.
Yeah.
Who knows? Do we ever know what the milking cow thing means?
Driving bus, whatever. Although it is. We do know what the four means.
Do we ever see what, because that was last year we used to see it, or was it 2 years ago? It was last year. And now, but Brantley was doing it. He got on base and was doing the same thing. The little drive the bus thing, whatever, milking a cow. I don't know what it is.
Whatever.
I just care if they get runs. We are still waiting for, I mean.
Well, the offense isn't going to break out against this. This is one of the best staffs.
Baseball. So were the Dodgers. They were ruining. Stop it. They were ruining the Yankees' best pitchers, the Dodgers' best pitchers, and the Red Sox' best pitchers.
Well, yeah, guess what?
It's
two games in.
This is a more historic offense.
Look at JD. Did you see what JD? Oh, yeah. What a great weekend, guys. Split with the Yankees. And oh, they scored four runs. Well, they scored three runs. And oh, who cares? Did you think that it was gonna? That this was gonna be easy?
No.
Well, I was scared, little biznotches. And we lose the game. It's over. Oh my God! Just stop. It's hard. It's the New York Yankees with like the best lineup. I'm telling you, I don't know how the Astros were the big favorite in this thing.
No.
When you look at that team and what they did.
This is a pick'em
to the Twins, and what they've done all year long. I mean, this is the healthiest that they've been. Look at that lineup. If they would have been healthy all year long, you know how many games this team would have won? Holy crap. They would have won 112, 115 games. I'm not even joking. This is one of the best lineups I can ever remember.
Oh, ever. LeMahieu, from the very top all the way to Sanchez is what, seven?
Yeah. Well, you know, when Stan's in, he's eight.
Yeah, and then you've got Encarnacion is just like, oh yeah, they got Encarnacion. Oh yeah, they have Encarnacion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got him too. Like, they are just so, and then Aaron Judge is really feeling it now. You can tell he's on it. Even the other night,
when he was hitting
hitting shots, and like even his outs are terrifying now.
But the second one after he homered off Verlander, and then he hit one again to right. It was like,
are you guys,
that's out in Yankee Stadium, by the way.
Yeah.
That's out.
Are you guys noticing? By the way,
you know who we haven't heard? We've been texting all weekend long in our group text. Mm-hmm. Nothing from him. Nothing from Dell. Zero. Well, how you not even respond?
He's been locked in on playoff baseball and the Houston Open.
Did you block in on that Cardinals National Series?
No.
Did you lock in last night? Not even anything. We're group texting. Nothing.
It was on. It wasn't on my TV. I was watching on the laptop. I was watching
what?
I was watching Netflix on my big TV.
You were on the
how are you watching
laptop?
Netflix and?
Well, I can you
a
I,
Verlander
you can
game?
Stream your you can stream your cable provider on your laptop.
A Verlander game?
You zone in. You can't have anything else on. No one talking. You got to zone in.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Clearly, I do not.
You need to hear the storylines,
no,
the narratives.
I don't know if you've heard, but I don't care about baseball.
Oh, I don't know if you heard. This is the biggest thing in Houston sports history.
Let me explain something to you. If one of my favorite teams who doesn't reside here was in a big series, would it impact you the same way that it does the Astros in a big series?
This is where you live.
So what? I don't.
This is your team.
I didn't grow
don't
up with them.
Where you eat, they say. I don't know.
That's
don't know
about that. Having I'm sex with sure coworkers.
Yeah. Do it. Well, you know, yeah. You're not supposed to do that either.
No.
Del.
Hey,
that's
when
don't do that.
When in Rome.
When in Rome.
All I'm
Del.
Pointing out is when in I don't Rome. Know why people find that so crazy that I wouldn't be locked in on a team I didn't grow up rooting for.
A bird in the hand.
Stop.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
All of it, Del.
No.
All of it, and that means baseball.
JG, did you blame the game one loss on your brother Carmine and your niece Maria? No, that was not Childish Altuve. It was Jillian. And
did you sneak in and out? Did anyone know you were in town?
Dude, I had LSU game on my phone. My son-in-law had the Astros on his phone. We put them up against the water glasses, yeah. And we're watching right at our table.
We were at Jong's wedding, and he used to be the assistant or the program director here. We're at Jong's wedding. And it was going down. Every table had a bottle of like Crevassier that people were taking shots. And it's Rockets game six against the Warriors. The Warriors Rockets. And we've all got our phones. I'm like, oh my gosh, the Rockets are up double digits right now, game six.
Yeah, that's what.
Well, I mean,
how'd that
at
work
one
out?
Point.
How'd that work out?
At one point.
Do another shot, because that might work out for you.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. So let's get to this, too. We're going to have a lot of Astros. If you guys want to weigh in on the Astros game, 713-780-3776. Or if you want to weigh in on the Texans game, because does this one now rate? Now, do you have a new biggest win in Bill O'Brien history?
I don't think it's the same Chiefs team, you know. But I love the way they're playing against good teams now. They hadn't, and until they did, then he was worthy of the criticism.
I'll tell you
he something. Didn't beat good quarterbacks. And you know what? He didn't last year. They folded to Andrew Luck, and now we'll see. I mean, they're playing so much better against good teams. Now, I will say this though: everybody's sleeping on Carolina. Look what that defense did to Jameis. Look what that defense has done. So that loss isn't nearly as bad. Jacksonville's always going to be a low scoring, sluggish game that looks like crap. They were able to get through it, but they look like crap doing it. Then New Orleans, if you can get one stop at the end, you win that game too. This team has played well this year, really well. This isn't last year's team that won 11 games and you went, meh.
I mean,
this team is playing well.
They didn't play well against Carolina or Jacksonville.
Carolina makes you look bad, dude.
I didn't care. Then don't.
But Jacksonville makes you look like crap.
I don't. They don't make everyone look like crap.
Yeah, they played another one of those games
yesterday.
The Tennessee
Titans being like 20. They lost. Denver scored on them. Like the
they
Texans,
beat Tennessee.
I know, but Tennessee scored on them. Denver scored on
7
them.
Points?
Oh, not Tennessee, but Denver did. Denver scored on them. They didn't get scored on much yesterday, but Teddy Bridgewater offense hasn't really scored on anybody for the Saints. They're just grinding it out. But I mean, you didn't play well offensively. You played terrible against Jacksonville. You played terrible offensively against Carolina. Defensively, you've hung in, but Jacksonville isn't going to give you a great.
But I'm telling you, look at every Carolina game, dude. That might be the best defense in the league. I'm not even joking. With the Bears, after Oakland, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? The Bears are probably the best defense in the league, but Carolina ain't far behind.
Well, Deshaun played bad in those two games. Deshaun has played really well. In fact, so well that there is no more talk about offensive line. Have you noticed that? There's no more offensive line talk.
Well, and you lose Titus Howard.
Well, we'll see. They say it's not an ACL. That's
no,
the
but
latest.
They say
they
it
don't
looks
think
worse
it
than they think.
It's a concern because you're now seeing how it's not even remotely close between Roderick Johnson and Titus Howard. Like Titus is substantially better. But the Texans did a great job of playing Fells over there. Fells has become a savior this year. And Darren Fells, they were using him to help Roderick Johnson, which is great. I mean, Bill O'Brien schemed it up. I thought Bill O'Brien had one of his finest games. Now, I heard this. Want to know what I heard? I heard that Tim Kelly is calling plays.
No, you see Bill O'Brien calling the plays.
He can be on the headphones, but I've got somebody. Here's what I got on direct message, and I'm going to find this out today because I'm going to talk to somebody who will know. He said, I don't know what this means, but my friend that hangs out with Deshaun says Tim Kelly calls the plays now. And this is coming from a guy I've known for a while, longtime listener, who said he hears that Tim Kelly's now calling the plays. Now, the install is going to be Bill O'Brien. Is going to be Bill O'Brien, along with Tim Kelly, regardless of. And the install happens on Tuesdays, and it's a game plan. The Texans had a little wrinkle where they took Darren Fells across the formation like a split zone. It's an inside zone look when you're running the zone read. And a lot of times a tight end will come over there and kick out the end. And so they'll read an interior defensive line.
They only ran it 12 times, too. It was awesome.
And the Chiefs couldn't figure it out. So instead of. And so what they did was they just snuck him across the formation into the flat time and time and time again for an RPO. The only problem with it was that if Deshaun would take a while to figure out what he wanted to do, they had a couple of illegal men downfield on the RPO. But that was a really successful play, really kept Kansas City on their heels. And that's something the Texans had. I hadn't seen that all year from the Texans.
No.
They threw a wrinkle in specifically for that game. And it was huge. It was a big, big wrinkle.
That was a great wrinkle.
Deshaun Watson is getting rid of the ball now quickly.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson is not freaking out against blitz looks and six-man pressures. The running game, Carlos Hyde had a chip on his shoulder yesterday as a runner. He was physical.
Well, after that first play.
And aggressive. Will Fuller wasn't catching the ball.
Right, no.
That would have been
almost a blowout if Will Fuller could catch the ball.
Yeah, Will Fuller, just his hands have been so good dating back to last year after, and then yesterday.
A couple of them were tough catches, but a couple of them are right there.
He's not going to make the tough catches very often on the move for whatever reason. But all in all, that was really a good win. And look, the Colts went and did it the week before. The Texans did it this week. They kept pace. But Titans had to bench Marcus Mariota. He looks terrible. The Jaguars just doesn't look like they have enough firepower. It looks like the two best teams in the division are going to be, once again, the same two teams, the Colts and the Texans. But the Texans lost Titus Howard, and the Colts lost one of their pass rushers, Kamiko Touré. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. But, man, I got to say, I was really happy with how the Texans looked yesterday.
They look great. They look great.
Back-to-back
offensively. That's a big win. Look, we can stop. Every win is the biggest in franchise under Bill O'Brien history. A really good win. They're playing good football against good teams, and they look like a real contender in the AFC.
This is real. We're going to have to reevaluate. Later in the show, we'll take a look at all of the NFL because, man, things that we thought were going to happen are not happening.
The Chargers.
How about
are bad.
The Chargers getting smacked by the Chiefs
with Devlin Hodges?
With Devlin Hodges, you know that line was 5.5. That's how I knew. Like, what is happening? Why are the Chiefs? I mean, why are the Chargers 5.5 against a guy named Devlin Hodges?
Well,
now I know why.
And we asked this week, why in the hell are the Texans only a 5-point dog to the Chiefs? And guess what? It paid off. 728 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about my man. Dr. Kane Linville over at Linville Practice Surgery, Plastic Surgery. I did it, and I can't feel better about it. It takes about 7, 8, 9 months for you to see the full effects, but the neograft, when you transfer the hair from the back of your head or, you know, the sides and the back, and you put it up top, It takes a little while, but it is all in there. And the doc says it's great. It all took, and it is going to be awesome. I had a giant male pattern balding thing going on, and now I am going to feel it about Christmas or February. I'm going to have like a full head of hair, and you can do this too. How about a free consultation right now at 975hair.com, 975hair.com. See for yourself. It was easy. The process was simple. It was so good, so good. If you've been thinking about getting that surgery, this isn't surgery. It's neografting. Find out about it. 975hair.com.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Well, what's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I'll drink to that.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, for sure, because we knew we had to look pre-snap the previous two plays, actually. We kind of knew what they were going to do. Got to have a situation, blitz zero. So, you know, it was try to find the best guy, you know, best player. And of course, you know, D-Hop was one of those guys. You know, in clutch moments, he comes up big. So, yeah, we got the look that we wanted and capitalized.
Oh, you know what? Ballsy call. Well, okay.
So. Ballsy call. Is Kyahmi Fairbairn a Texan tomorrow?
Yeah, he's got to be.
He's got to be gone. Like, he missed another extra point. And then
the field goal.
And then Bill O'Brien's like, yeah, we're going to go for it on 4th-and-3 because we know. But, Bill, if he makes a field goal, like, it's over.
Well.
And O'Brien's like, nah, we can't trust this guy to make anything.
No.
Didn't you think when he refused
the field goal? He was right to go for it. But wait a minute. What about at the end of the first half? When it's 4th-and-1 and they go for it and they throw a bomb to
that
the end
was
zone.
The worst.
Except, and then he catches it.
And then he catches
no,
it.
Which.
With 38 seconds to go, and you're like, wow, if they get the ball at the 43 or whatever.
If he knocks it down, they have the ball at the 43.
With all their timeouts and enough time to get in scoring position.
Why
like,
are they
wow, that
throwing
was
the bomb there?
And the very next play, strip sack by Omenihu.
Yeah.
He's played way better than I expected. Yeah. I mean. I thought he was too stiff and this, that, and the other. He's definitely played way better than I expected. And how about the Texans turn it into points right before the half? I mean, they're having good things happen. Early in the game, it looked like they were going to get the break speed off of them.
Yeah.
Touchdown, and they have the like, oh, my God.
Fumble.
The fumble from their first two plays look like both fumbles.
Yeah.
And the second one, a touchdown. Well, it turns out D-Hop's knee was down. Which I didn't think so when I first watched it in fast speed. I thought, oh, this is done. This game's done. This is over. And sure enough, you know, as soon as they said, nope, knee was down, the game completely switched around. It looked like they were about to get pummeled after the first two quote-unquote fumbles. But when one was Carlos Hyde's, and then Carlos Hyde bounced back from that and put on a great game.
Great show. Let's get Steven in here. He wants to talk about J.J. What do you say, Steven?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I don't want to sound like a hater or anything, but it kind of seems like it was a blessing in disguise that Jonathan Joseph didn't play.
I don't know. Phillip Gaines wasn't very good. I don't know.
Bradley Roby, you know, he's really played well.
Yeah.
He got hurt and had to leave the game, and they had to come in with Keon Crossing, but... did you feel like they missed Jonathan Joseph yesterday, John?
Well, yeah, for a while when they were picking on Gaines about every play, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like when they pick on J.J.
Like played.
Well, but I don't know
like
that
he played, man. They had to tore us up.
We'll see. I don't know. You really want Gaines instead of J.J.?
No, I don't think that answer. I don't think either one of those guys the answer, which is, you know, one of my concerns.
Well, guess what?
Having,
that's what you got now.
Not having a pick, because now you're going to have
to. In a Super Bowl year, this is what you're going to have to do. Okay, all right.
I'd rather have J.J. back because he's a veteran. But it's not like you're getting a whole lot out of J.J. anymore.
No. I mean, J.J. is he's obviously on his last. This is the swan. I don't know about swan song, but it's the end of his career.
It has to be.
Yeah, probably. But I'll tell you what. You know, Lonnie Johnson didn't play badly. He played pretty well.
He was okay. The only big concern that I had was. Reed missed playing the Tyreek Hill touchdown, and then there was a bust that allowed Tyreek his second touchdown, which I don't know how they busted in zone, but they busted there. And other than that, though, they actually hung in okay. Travis Kelce was not a major factor for the first time in ever against the Texans. And you got to give some
Gibson
credit to Tayshaun.
Missed a few tackles.
Yeah. But you got to give Tayshaun credit and the Texans and Romeo Crennel credit for what they did against Travis Kelce. And
speaking of missing tackles,
are
your Longhorns the worst tackling?
They're my wife's Longhorns.
No, they're your.
And she had some of the ugliest things that you could say about a person, and it was all about tackling. She had some very foul.
CeeDee Lamb is
the most powerful 160-pound
no one
player
can
of
ever
all time.
Tackle him.
I don't know if you saw or what Gus Johnson said. He's only 190, but he's yoked, apparently. 6'2", 190, breaking tackles.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said he walked through the locker room, right, and saw him, and he was like, wow.
Gus Johnson or whatever. I talked about this either on Friday or maybe on my podcast. The whole Todd Orlando thing, At least this year it's a mirage because Texas stinks on defense.
They're on pace to give up the most yards they've given up in the history of their school.
They're 104 going into the game. It couldn't have got better. I know the point total was down, but they gave up over 500 yards again.
Somebody was at my wife said, "Well, why is this happening?" I said, "I got to tell you, you're just not very talented in your front seven." I'm really surprised at Texas when you look at them. Texas is not very talented. They got a bunch of big galoots up front. They have no speed, no edge speed. No, they're not going to rush. You could see it against LSU. They couldn't do it against LSU. It's not like it was going to come from nowhere. But their entire front seven, but their tackling was – that's some of the worst tackling I've seen in college football from the secondary.
It was the worst.
Wow. Like, wow, was
it
bad.
Was unbelievably bad.
I made fun of Oklahoma's DBs because they looked malnourished last year, and they're still little guys. Texas has the big, bulky dudes.
And they can't tackle.
Who can't tackle or cover
they're terrible.
Anyone.
Yeah. But they were in the game. They were in the game.
Turnovers in the red zone by OU kept them in the game.
Yeah, they had really bad pass
that
from
Jalen.
Jalen, I didn't think Jalen played very well. You know, his numbers, you look at the numbers. If you didn't watch a game, you say, oh, good game from Jalen. It really wasn't. It was a matter of they had a bust where, and by the way, how does CeeDee Lamb take off running what that almost looked like a wheel route when there's no one there?
Well, he came in motion and all the play action was going the other way.
But how do you leave CeeDee Lamb?
I don't know.
Because once he's got the ball in his hands, you know you're not going to be able to tackle him.
Well, not Texas.
You know he's Tecmo Bo, where he's impossible to tackle.
Well, it was a flea flicker and you can't figure anything out.
Oh, yeah, it was a...
Do you remember?
They got lost on the flea flicker.
Yeah. That was a flea flicker? Oh, yeah, it was a flea flicker.
All right. My buddy says, hey, talk more about Carlos. The double early on, the throw out at the plate.
Holy crap. John Smoltz almost busted in his pants.
Whoa.
He's like, I don't think you know how amazing this play is. And when I saw the replay with the wide angle replay, and you saw Phil Nevin waving him, it really was the right.
It was the right call.
Like, it looked like, wow, there was plenty of time for him to score.
If not for the shift, if Carlos is playing his regular position in shortstop, that's a run. You know, if he's behind second base, he's got a chance. And he did. He picked it up and threw it up.
That was a tough one for Tuvi also.
But, yeah, well, I thought it was an error. It wasn't a hit.
No, but it was a rocket, though. A lot of times they will give that a hit.
You know what? A major league second baseman, especially Jose Altuve, makes that play. I don't know about a hit. But neither here nor there.
Have you ever
Carlos
made that play?
I make that play.
No, so not, why are you not, commenting on that?
And if I don't, I want an error.
No, have
I'm
you,
not giving
have you made the play in the ALCS before?
He hasn't.
Have you?
He's never made it.
Yep.
He's never played baseball at that level.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's never played baseball at that level.
He's talking a lot of stuff.
No, when I was in Little League, they hit rockets at me. Guess what?
That's a lie.
You know what? You get in front of it, you take it off the face, and you throw the guy out.
You know what? That's such a lie. You know he wasn't playing in the games. He was betting on the games. He had his book going.
There's Baldo Savarino's over there like, hey, John, you need to make a play. I lay in a 1.5.
Hey, John, while you're running down the front, you may need to trip over your shoelaces, John. You know you're taking dives.
No, I'm not taking no dives.
Hey, John,
I'm making that play every time.
You're going to take a third strike for your Uncle Baldo.
He's not your uncle, is he? He's your cousin.
He's my cousin. I saw Baldo on Saturday.
I was wondering if he was at the wedding.
Well, of course
Carlos
he was. What,
rifles an 87-mile-an-hour throw, and something tells me he can get it up to 90, but he was off balance and whipped a perfect throw in there at the plate.
I don't think there's any question he can throw 90. I can bet you he can throw 95.
By the way, does Robinson Chirinos feel like an automatic out every
time? Yeah, right now.
Well, how many Astros do right now?
You got even Yordan, who's so – I still feel like something good is going to happen. With Chirinos up there, I'm like, this is awesome. This feels like a National League
lineup. What about Tucker swinging it over? Holy crap. 742.
I want to see if Tucker starts to cry at any point during that bat.
Good Lord. He got one of the only hits on Saturday, though.
Yeah, no,
thank you.
Tanaka was a little nasty with that slider.
You know who's a big hit? And that's Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. I'm telling you, this is my guy. He is awesome at what he does. He is a big University of Houston guy. He didn't even go there, but he just loves the program. He installs marble and granite for them. He puts in he made the baseball facility look great. And this is so important in nowadays that you know, no matter what your business is, but you want it to look great. So people come in and they're impressed and they're like, oh, this is where I want to do business. If you got, if everything's all shungad, you're like, I don't want to do business with these people. They don't care. I want to do a business with a place that's nice. That outdoor patio, that bar, that countertop, those, the vanities, everything that you're doing, the fireplace, everything. Absolute marble and granite. Give Jeff a call. You get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. He loves doing business with our people. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN.
97.5. Well, regardless of what the outside world thinks, we believe a lot in our defense. We talked about it last night. Coach Krantz talked about it in the defensive meeting. We talked about it in the team meeting. I don't care what our defensive calls are, schemes, any of that. And I say I don't care, but the way we play right now is it was a difference today. Aggression, fundamentally sound, kept our aggression even in the second half when Texas made a few plays. We were outstanding there. We're going to continue to get better. This won't be our best game, but it was a really good performance defensively against obviously a very talented offense.
That was Lincoln Riley after the game. Big weekend, big weekend. Who looked best? Okay, so Dell, give me your after last weekend. Give me your top five right now. College football.
We'll go to Alabama. The Aggies gauntlet, they have not made it through unscathed. Clearly go 0-3 against their best competition. Not the Auburn game's a little surprising.
I thought that they played what they are.
Yeah. Alabama, okay, we get it. That's what they are right now. Alabama won. I would probably elevate LSU to 2, as I think the AP did, or was the coaches. Let's go. Ohio State didn't play. I would probably put them at 3, Oklahoma at 4, Clemson at 5.
Really?
Yeah. Clemson has beaten no one.
They've beaten no one. They at least look good, but they played Florida State. Yeah, Florida State. Boy, Florida State. Holy crap. Yeah. Are they bad?
Yeah, they are what they are. They can't block anybody, and they can't put pressure on the quarterback.
I think I'm still going to keep Clemson up there, too. Bama 1, Clemson 2, LSU 3.
It is amazing how
Ohio State 4, Oklahoma 5.
We hear about the Big 12 and how if you pay so much attention to the offense, your defense suffers. Well, LSU now plays offense, and their defense has suffered.
It has suffered.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. If you are going to play that style of football, your defense suffers.
LSU gets the best talent you can imagine defensively, and yet their defense has still suffered now that they play that way.
Well, we'll see, though, whether or not, you know, they don't start to play a little bit better. Listen, they missed tackles too. I mean, they're not playing, and they've had injuries up front. I don't think they're playing to the. They're obviously not playing to their full potential. That's a better defense than it's shown. And if they do play well defensively, holy crap!
Well, that's what always has been the case with Oklahoma. Now they don't get the athletes that LSU gets.
I'm still not going to compare LSU's defense to Oklahoma's.
I'm not comparing it, but no. Oklahoma has taken a step up defensively.
Oh, let me tell you, Alex Grinch is one of the best coaches in college football today. There is a chance he'll be either a college head coach by next year or in the NFL. That's no lie. This is a guy, they're DC now. We were talking about him, the Joe Moore Awards, the offensive line awards we do. We were watching 3 years ago against Washington State. We're like, holy crap, look at all the stuff this defensive line does. They're a pain in the butt. And he didn't last there long. He went pretty much immediately to Ohio State because Ohio State was like, oh, we need to get this guy. He was at Ohio State for a year and did really well, and Oklahoma was like, we need to pay and get this guy. Urban left, he decided to leave and go to Oklahoma for a pay increase, I think is how it went down. And now he's with Oklahoma. I thought Oklahoma's defense, man, they've got speed. I mean, they're way better than I anticipated. Sam Ellinger didn't. I think Sam looked very good. I'm not sure how Texas was in the game at one point.
Well, let's talk to Longhorn Keith about that. He wants to talk about, I thought it was going to be Longhorn Scott, but it's Longhorn Keith. He wants to talk about that game. What do you say, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, Lance, you nailed it. The front seven. We talked about this before the season started. Let me just preface my comments by saying, man, I am not an overreactor, and I'm really I've tried to weigh this whole season out, and more importantly, the last 2.5 seasons, and I'm done, man. Tardo Endo, whether you want to say it's the talent, it's just fundamental coaching, tackling. They're not doing that. More importantly, I'm sick and tired of Tom Herman and this bland. I mean, how do you come out trying to run lateral on a team? You're throwing lateral passes on a team that goes sideline to sideline. You run the ball 10 times. You throw passes sideline to sideline like 15 times with
They're
guys who are just as fast as you are. And then more importantly, here's a kicker. And you guys know X's and O's way better than I do. And Dale nailed it earlier or this last week. How do you have defensive backs that are 5'10"? You got two wide receivers that are 6'6". They're running slant routes. They're running curl routes. You can't get the ball vertical down the field. Sam Ehlinger, I've said this before. I'm going to keep saying it. I like his story. I like the kid. Sam Ehlinger is not the quarterback for this system. If you want a system that's going to beat a defense like this, you have to get a mobile, athletic quarterback who can also pass. And if your best running back is your third-string quarterback, you're not developing players or you're not recruiting damn well. In either case, Texas sucks. The best thing that happened to us this weekend was yesterday when Dallas lost. Because I'm praying to God that Dallas calls Lincoln Riley and say, please come take this job. Because that's the only damn way we're going to win this rivalry ever again.
Appreciate Keith.
There it is.
Keith's hot. It's not – the running game is not good for them.
No. And speaking of which, A&M, what the hell happened to your running game? They had their running backs 12 carries for 35 yards. Kellen Mond is doing everything. 16 carries for 90 yards and 24-42 for 264, two touchdowns. It's ridiculous how much they're relying on this kid, and nobody else is doing anything offensively. And Kellen Mond is inconsistent. So how the hell are you going to win any games? You're Texas A&M. You got to be able to run the football.
Well, not against the team they saw on Saturday.
No, they haven't run the ball against.
Auburn, they're not running the ball against Auburn either.
They're not running the ball against anybody. Their O-line's not playing well. They're running back, and they lost their best runner. But their running game, like, it's not good. You can't – I don't want to make this about college football when we got two big, you know, Texans. But the fact is, you can't – Kellen Mond's not good enough to just operate in a vacuum with no running game. You got to run the football. It's part of what Jimbo's offense is. And it's, look, it's not going to be easy against Alabama, but they're really not running a ball consistently against anybody right now. So it's a big, big concern. You know, the Texans were running the ball well yesterday. I like the balance they had yesterday. I like that they had the little, see, this is what we were supposed to get with Bill O'Brien, wrinkles. You're supposed to his whole strength was supposed to be that he throws you something that you haven't seen. And now with Deshaun Watson, you know, you have that ability. And we really haven't seen a lot of wrinkles, at least that have been successful. Yesterday's little RPO with the tight end and
that
the
was
flat
great.
Was a massive. I mean, Kansas City couldn't get it figured out. They couldn't. And I'm not sure how you do figure that out because you got Kiki QT running in the seam. Like, there's two different reads that you can make on that. The only thing is you're going to have to get your offensive line coached up to maybe not go quite as far out there or Deshaun to make a quicker decision with the ball so that you don't get illegal men downfield. But, man, how good was that? How good was Deshaun running the football? I saw him do a much better job of sliding up in the pocket as opposed to out of the pocket when he was escaping. I saw them on a third day, like a third and six or third and nine, something like that, show a six-man rush and bring six, and Deshaun responded with a quick throw underneath to Hopkins for a first down from the slot. He just ran a little curl route right past the sticks. Deshaun Watson had an awful game, and he took that awful game against Carolina where he held on the ball literally forever. And we talked to, you know, you got to get rid of it. He's holding it. He looks like a different guy. He took it to heart. Yep. He worked at it. And this is why I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson. And I wasn't that worried then. And I said it on a tweet. He works hard. It's just a matter of, it's It's a matter of when the bullets fly, can he go back to what he's been working on? And the last 2 weeks, the answer is yes. When the bullets are flying in his face, he's been able to stick with what he's been working on. And you and I know this is not going to be pleasant for anyone in this city who has a grudge to bear, but you guys need to give Bill O'Brien some legitimate credit on this, because it can't just be Deshaun's a great player.
No,
and good things happen. And
but yesterday was one of the first times that we saw innovation.
Yes, but I think the week before, what people don't recognize, and I do from being an O-line coach's son, is that that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, the only way that happens where Deshaun goes from holding the ball for 5 seconds to getting the ball out is repetition of coaches being in his ear and Sean and Deshaun working at it and them working as a group. The offensive line working, Deshaun working, the head coach working, Tim Kelly working. They all have to work together, and Deshaun has taken it to heart, and the coaches have clearly gotten to him and started necessitating this. It can't just be Bill O'Brien calls terrible plays and Deshaun makes good plays. Like, it's a combination.
No, absolutely.
There's credit and blame to go both sides.
All right, 713-780-3776. We'll get you in. Whatever you want to talk about from this weekend, let's talk Astros. All right, and we can absolutely mix in some Texas, but this is Astros.
We'll get back to Astros.
We're going to New York, by the way. We're taking the show to New York.
Well, two of you are going to New York.
Three of us.
Raheel's going to?
Raheel's going.
Sweet. Good for him.
Yep. So we're going to bring the show to New York. Charlie's going to be there as well. So this is your station.
Charlie's already going. I think Charlie's going to broadcast the Yankees game, even if the Astros didn't get through.
Yeah, I think he was too.
No, I'm serious. Yeah,
he was going to
bring you coverage of the ALCS.
He got his ticket. His ticket's like $211 because he got it like 7 months ago.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll be covering the ALCS no matter who the teams are.
713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
You want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.